Good morning, church family. It's good to see all of you here this morning. I am thankful for our shepherds and the way that they lovingly lead our congregation. And I'm grateful to be here with you this morning as we continue our praise and worship of our good God. I want to start by saying that we have something prepared for you out in the gathering room. Maybe you saw it on the way in. It's called the Exchange Guide, and I want to introduce that to you. In our context, it can be easy to get lost in the cultural meaning and expectations of Easter and what everybody thinks that's supposed to be about. And actually, there's a very deep, true meaning to what Easter really is to us as Christians. And so during the month of March, I'm excited about something we're going to do together as a congregation. We're going to focus on some helpful themes of Lent, themes like repentance and fasting and moderation and self-reflection and prayer. And we're going to do those things together in order to adequately prepare our minds and our hearts as we submit ourselves in the presence of Jesus to receive the gifts that he has for us, the gifts that he's promised, and the gifts he has to offer through his life, his death, and his resurrection. And so to direct us through this spiritual season, through the month of March, the ministers have put together what we're calling the Exchange Guide, and this is what it looks like. And so maybe you saw this on the way in, and you can either pick up this hard copy this morning, or you can go to either of our websites, our public website or our member website, and you can find this graphic, and you'll be able to view and to download a PDF version of the Exchange Guide, and you can print it off yourself if you like, or you can just use the digital copy. But what the guide encourages us to do is to engage in some ancient spiritual disciplines, to exchange some self-focused habits for some God-focused rhythms in our life, rhythms like reading scripture, a rhythm like, and maybe you struggle with this, but being still in the presence of the Lord, just being silent and knowing that he is God. Rhythms like prayer and self-reflection and journaling and even gospel-oriented actions that help us to be more like Jesus. And so each week's focus in the guide is going to correspond with the message that I'm preaching. So even today's message out of John chapter 3 will correspond with week 1 in the Exchange Guide that begins today. Another helpful hint to you is that each week has a children's corner inside of the guide. And so families, for those of you that have elementary-aged kids, this is called the children's corner. And Andrea has put this together to help you as parents include your kids in this spiritual exercise. And it's going to be really, really great going through it together. In addition, later this afternoon, it might be tomorrow morning, give me some grace. I'm going to send out a church-wide email as well with another reminder, because I believe it's that important. We want to impress this upon you, this Exchange Guide, and this spiritual season during the month of March that we're going to do together. So either pick up a guide or go and download it onto one of your devices, and let's do this together. Would you join me in prayer as we get ready for the message? So God, just over the next few minutes, we submit ourselves to you. I pray, God, that you would open up our minds and our hearts to your words. I pray that you would pour through me the gift of preaching, and that you, through your Holy Spirit, would powerfully reveal to us what it is we need to give up, what it is that we need to give to you in exchange for what you have in store for us. So, God, I pray for wisdom, and I pray for the faith, the courageous faith, to make that exchange. In Jesus' name, amen. Exchange is a word I introduced to you last week, and I said then that if you don't think about it, exchanging is something we actually do quite often, right? I first thought of clothes or something that doesn't fit, so you have to take it back to the store to exchange it. You have to stand in line. But if you travel, whether you're on your way or on your way back, sometimes you have to exchange your money, exchange your currency to get the money that works in the culture that you find yourself in. Other times it's nonverbal pleasantries that we exchange or words that we share. We exchange things all the time. And then in terms of our relationship with Jesus, there are certainly some exchanges that we need to make in order to be more like him. And oddly enough, those are the exchanges that we don't really want to make, that come harder to us. We hold on tightly to the things that are old hat or old habit to us, and we don't want to give those up in exchange for what Jesus has to offer. And so that's what this series is all about. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about exchanging things, pursuing new life in Christ. I'm going to use the Gospel of John as our textual backdrop for that. And so if you have your Bible or Bible app with you this morning, turn with me to John chapter 3, and we'll be there in just a moment. But John's gospel is going to help open our eyes to the wonder of Jesus. And we're going to come face to face with Jesus through the stories, through the encounters that we're going to look at together. And then you're going to have to make a decision. It's going to be up to you to give up these things that we're going to be talking about in exchange for what Jesus has to offer you. So something that stood out to me as I was rereading the Gospel of John, getting ready for this series, is every story that I came across, it seemed that this mini theme was running throughout the gospel, and it's this: when Jesus began to speak up, people began to get tripped up. And so as you read these stories, Jesus will be teaching or speaking with someone one-on-one or even a group of people, and they're kind of scratching their heads going, what did he just say? Or how did he know that? Or I don't understand at all what he just said. Can somebody help a friend? Can I phone a friend? Because I have no idea what Jesus just said. And so this is kind of a mini theme that runs throughout the Gospel of John. And the first one of these encounters is in John chapter 3 with a man named Nicodemus. And as you read this story, we're going to read it together, actually. I'm going to read the entire narrative because I think it's well worth our time to soak in this story. So as I'm reading it out loud and as you're listening, what I want you to do, I want you to pay close attention to Nicodemus. And what I actually want you to do is, and this may be difficult for some of you, but I really want you to do your best with this. I want you to imagine that you are Nicodemus in this story. Put yourself in his shoes. And as you're listening to the story, what are you feeling? What are you thinking about? What are you struggling with? And as Nicodemus, after Jesus responds to your opening statement, ask yourself, Nicodemus, what will it require of you in order to follow him? And I mean really follow him. So may God bless the reading of his word. John 3, starting in verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and he said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you were doing if God were not with him. And Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. And Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised by my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it has come from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Now after this, Jesus and his disciples went out to the Judean countryside where he spent some time with them and he baptized. Now John was also baptizing at Aenon near Salem because there was plenty of water and people were coming to be baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and they said to him, "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he's baptizing and everyone's going to him." To this, John replied, "A person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, 'I am not the Messiah, but am sent ahead of him.' The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, and I must become less." Before we zero in on Nicodemus, I want to start with John the Baptist and his response. I don't believe it's a coincidence that John's discussion with his disciples is right after the encounter of Jesus and Nicodemus. I believe what's happening here is John's writing his gospel in a way, setting us up for a very spiritual moment, a spiritual exchange of sorts needs to happen, needs to take place here. It's all over the forefront of Nicodemus's demeanor and his approach to Jesus. And the other exchange is obvious in John's response to his disciples. Did you see it? Did you pick up on it? First, John's response to his disciples. His overly worried disciples come to him and they're like, "Master, did you see what's happening? All the people are going to the other guy." And John's like, "Guys, will you please calm down? I already told you I'm not the dude." That's the Micah Hobbs International version. It's in there if you go back and read it. I mean, John's just this non-anxious presence. He's like, "It's okay. Calm down. I already told you." John chapter 1, verse 20. "I already told you I'm not the Christ. He is. He must become greater and I must become less." And so John is quick to correct his disciples' heart posture and to remind them, to emphasize, Jesus is the dude, not me. He must become greater. I must become less. And so I began with John's response because I believe it's the crux of Nicodemus's confusion. John's response is what Nicodemus needs to realize, right? That's his main problem. Nicodemus is unable to clearly see who Jesus really is. He's unable to hear Jesus' message clearly because of his heart condition. As I was reading the story, did you notice when Nicodemus came to Jesus? He came at night. I don't think that's in there just because. That's a huge part of the story. Nicodemus came at night. Now, some people might say, well, you know, he was working at the ruling council all day. He had things to do and people to see, and so evening came, and that's the only time he could go to see Jesus. Okay, maybe. Or maybe it was he was just embarrassed. He was embarrassed as this person that had this perceived position in society at the ruling council, and so he was embarrassed to go see Jesus, so he waited until evening time. Maybe so. But we have the rest of the story. And so knowing the rest of the story, I think it has more to do with fear. I believe Nicodemus feared being seen with Jesus. But there was something about him, right? Nicodemus in his opening statement says, it's clear to me, I can see that you're from God. There's something of God in you. And so Nicodemus just had to go. He had to go and find out. Some scholars say that maybe Nicodemus was sent as a representative of the council. And so maybe the rest of the group, the rest of this ruling Jewish council, sent Nicodemus as a representative. Go find out. Go and see if he's the Messiah. It's possible either of those are true. Either way, Nicodemus had to find out for himself. You see, Nicodemus was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He had a strong religious pedigree. If there was such a label in the first century, he would have been labeled as a guy that was a back-to-the-Bible fundamentalist kind of guy. And yet, he came to Jesus at night. And Jesus greets him with this kind of peculiar greeting, right? If you want to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. And Nicodemus is like, what? That makes no sense. So I'm like 42 and you're telling me I got to go back into my mom's womb and be born? That doesn't make any sense. Crazy talk. Woo! And Jesus is saying, no, let me tell you again. If you want to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Some translations may say reborn from above, because Nicodemus saw something in Jesus that was from above, and Jesus is telling him, you're right, and if you want to be of God or from above, you too must be born or reborn of God or from above. Whatever the translation is, I believe Jesus' main point to Nicodemus, and I believe his main point to you and I, is you have to choose to have a relationship with God. And it's an exchange. It's an exchange for a relationship with God rather than staying committed to all of these earthly things. And for Nicodemus, it was a rigid religion. It was wealth. It was security. It was reputation. It was this perceived power that he thought that he had. And Jesus is just looking at him saying, you got to give all that up. If you want to follow me, you have to make this exchange. And so you see, Nicodemus was faced with a similar choice that John the Baptist was faced with. He had to choose, I must become less, and Jesus must become greater in my life. And so I don't know if you can connect with Nicodemus today, but I believe his main struggle was self-reliance. Reliance on what he perceived was important, and it had everything to do with his accomplishments, with who he was, this position on this council and the power and the reputation that came with that and all the other public perks that came along with it. Jesus is saying, you gotta give that up. You gotta exchange that for me. Here's the pivotal question I think Jesus was asking, and maybe he's asking you. Are you willing to give up this false religious identity that you're holding on to in exchange for your true identity in me? Are you willing to make that exchange? We all come to Jesus on common ground. Did you know that? Satan wants us to believe that we're not on common ground, that here's the cross, and the ground we come to the cross on is unequal because my sin is greater, or your sin is less, and I'm just telling you, that's all lies. When we come to the kingdom of God, Jesus says what? We must be born again. We must be reborn from above. What that means, I believe, in the context of the Gospel of John is this. We all come to God 100% dependent upon him, just as a baby is to their mother. We're all reborn of God. And so whatever your perceived perception of yourself is, whatever power you think you have, however righteous you believe you are, oh, my sins are, you know, just kind of like piled this high, but oh man, my neighbor, you know, like this big. No, all of those perceptions are gone at the foot of the cross and in the kingdom of God. We all come to Jesus on common ground, on equal ground. And Jesus is asking Nicodemus, are you willing to make the exchange? And that's the question for you and me today. Are you willing to make this exchange, self-reliance for God-reliance? Are you willing to give up whatever it is you're holding on to, your ways, your comfortability, your security, your reputation, your perceived position or power or significance or importance? All of those things outside of Christ have no value. And Jesus is trying to tell Nicodemus, when you come to me in my kingdom, you're 100% dependent upon me. And like Nicodemus, some of us, we're walking around in the darkness and we're confused and we're trying to find a better way. And I think what Jesus is saying to us, and this is beautiful, come to me in the darkness, come to me in the morning, come to me midday in the full sunshine, or come to me when the sun is setting. Jesus doesn't really care. He just wants you to come to him. And he wants you to receive him as the light of life. Because whatever it is you're holding on to, if you'll make that exchange, whatever Jesus is saying, calling you to give up, make the exchange, because I promise you what he has in return for you is beyond your imagination. So much better than what you're holding on to. So you have to make the exchange. And let me tell you, I said this in first service, and I believe it's 100% true. This isn't a one-time deal. Sometimes this is a daily exchange. I know, I'll raise my hand. I'm as prideful and selfish as the best. And so sometimes it's a daily re-engagement. It's a daily exchange. Lord, I want this to go my way, but here you go. I surrender to you. I want it to be your way. Sometimes it's a daily exchange. The question is are you willing to make it? Yourself, your ways, for Jesus and his way. I'm going to say a prayer that God would help us in this. The band's going to come up and sing our final song. But we just want you to know that if you need to talk to someone, our shepherds are available. The men that you saw standing before you, they're available to you. I'll be back in the back. I'll be available to receive anyone that needs prayer. Or if you're ready to make the exchange yourself for Jesus, if you've never confessed him as Lord and been baptized, don't leave. We want to help you with that. So come talk to one of us during this next song. Let's pray together and the band will come and lead us. So Father, we just bow before you and we surrender ourselves to you this morning. Father, I just pray for a courageous faith, that you would open our eyes and our ears to your message, to the power of your Spirit that is work within us, and that we would give ourselves up to you, that we would make this exchange, our way for your way. You're such a good, loving Father, and I pray that every person here today would leave trusting you just a little bit more than when they arrived. May your love, may your power break in, climb over any wall that may be in a person's heart. Father, I pray that you would find them today and impress upon them that they are your child. And may they be willing to make the exchange. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and praise him together.